Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the Kicksville. Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes at night.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We're welcoming listeners now at great radio stations like 98.9 to Rock Kansas City's Rock Station, also 96.5 WCMF Rochester's Classic Rock, and of course a flagship here in Seattle, 99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle, celebrating rain every single day this year.
Yes.
Amazing year. All right, a big question for you today. What did you used to be very good at? Steve, I recall you telling the story of trying to do a cartwheel.
Yes.
With your kids and how that turned out, which I think is pretty funny because I think we're younger. We could do a lot more things we can do now. But you think a cartwheel is one of the just more basic things that you should be able to still
do? Well, it looks easy, man. I mean, that's the thing. You did it as a kid. You haven't done it since you were a kid. You see your kids do it. It looks easy. So I'm asked, can you do a cartwheel? I'm like, well, I used to do cartwheels when I was a kid, just like you did, man. I mean, there's no big difference. Can you do one now? I'm like, oh, absolutely. It turned out I cannot, and it does great damage to my shoulders. I'll just leave it at that. But the kids wanted to make sure I'm okay. They thought it was funny. It's just not something I will do again. Okay. It is not something I will do again. But now, because of that moment, I'm very cautious about a lot of other things that I'd have been quick about. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Hey, Dad, you want to play tackle football? Sure, sure. After doing the cartwheel, everything now is like, you know, let me think about that for a minute.
I think I've not that I was ever real good at it, but I did take quite a few lessons. But I really think I've hung up my skis. I'm never getting on those damn things again. I think I'm done with it. I absolutely think I'm done with it.
All right. Why?
Simply because the last few times I've gone,
the
I realized that my skill level is just okay, and the danger element of me doing something is much greater than it should be.
Okay. Do you stay on the smaller runs?
I mean, what do you mean are the smaller runs? Are you talking about the green circles?
Yeah, green. Like green to me.
That's... Yeah, start on the beginners.
I do start on the beginners. I don't like to stay on them forever because there's typically only one or two bunny slopes. And how often do you want to ski with six-year-olds?
You get in a blue.
You go flat. You know what, man? I'll tell you what the problem is.
Hear me out, Miles. I say just don't give up on it. And I haven't been snowboarding in years. But I would never say I'm giving up on it because eventually I want to go take two easy runs. And then hang out in the lodge.
Okay, all right.
That's the best part about that sport, anyhow.
But here's the thing. I know
a little bit of adrenaline and a lot of alcohol.
I know I'll rip my knee out. I know I'll tear my ACL. I just know it's going to happen, or I'm going to fly into a tree. Which
but
I've always done
like
on
happen,
time because I can't turn.
But you're determined for these things to happen, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm just
you're going to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I just know it's a hospital trip ready to happen.
Well, sure.
That's why I don't want to do it.
You pay for insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Live a little. You got insurance, man. Live a little.
Have you used our insurance?
I have on a few occasions, sure.
I'm not sure what my copay is, but it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I haven't hit it yet. I don't know if I ever will. And then it resets every year. Oh, you got a copay. That's right here, you got a copay. What the hell's the copay?
Right.
Oh, my God. Can I just pay for this in cash? That's what I do now.
I'm still paying off the vein.
Yeah. Oh, are you still?
Yeah.
With insurance.
Yeah.
All right.
How long has it been, a year?
Now, I got it done in August.
All right. And you're just paying a copay so far?
Well, I paid that, and you know.
You already paid a copay.
Right, then there's other stuff, so I'm paying that payments.
All right.
Where does the insurance kick in?
Why are they saying that this was an unnecessary surgery?
They tried to for a while.
Okay. And then the doctor said, hey, no, this was absolutely
necessary. Yeah, it's like eventually a rupture and you die.
Okay, did they think that
it's not necessary.
Did they think that that was a problem?
Yeah, after 3 years of him saying it.
So it took that long?
Yeah.
And then they finally said, okay.
The doctor said I might die.
Yeah, we got insurance.
Well.
So they finally convinced the insurance company that this was something you needed?
Yeah.
And then you're still paying for it?
Yeah, they did not pay a lot of it.
All right, they just paid a little.
Yeah.
But you're not dead, Mr. Smith. Yeah. That's the good thing.
Okay, well, all right.
Wow. That's good to know.
Have you had our surgery lately?
I mean, I do you know how much I paid for this new butthole?
Yeah, that's insane. Did you?
I mean, don't you think I
took
that?
The payment plan, sorry.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that thing, I mean, I needed it, you know what I'm saying, like a new car. Right. But, man, that was not cheap. That was not cheap at all for 3 months of pain.
Dude, when I cracked my skull open, they're like, is it pre-existing? Like, it's a cracked skull. You couldn't exist longer than I did without dying. Like, it's no, it wasn't pre-existing. Wound.
With blood pouring out of it. Right. No! How is that a question?
This is why I don't want to ski anymore.
Good God.
You know what? You're right.
You know, stay off the slopes.
It's dangerous. Like, would you ever go sledding on a crate again?
No!
Okay, well, see.
I wouldn't go sledding on a wood pallet on a city street.
Would you ever go sledding in general?
Yeah.
I think sledding, I mean, it's
come, man.
That freaks me out.
It's sledding.
It depends on where
it's
you are and how
sledding.
Fast you are.
Sledding! Children sled.
Ooh, it's dangerous, man. You can really do some damage.
It can be.
I broke my tailbone and got a concussion the last two times.
Wow.
Yep.
Have you not been sledding in a while? It's not like it used to be.
You don't want to do it.
What do you mean it's not like it used to be?
It's just because you're dumber now.
You say children do it. Let the children go do it. Trust me on this.
Well, think of sledding, because I was going to say one thing. Not that I was fast, that you could always do, that it sucks now. Sprinting.
Yeah.
Think about that. Even if you work out a lot, when's the last time that you actively did a sprint as hard as you could?
I can tell you exactly what it
was. It sucks.
No, I'll tell you exactly
what
it
was.
We were playing a softball game, and we had our team here, the foul balls, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a ball hit to right field, and I was playing like right center-ish or whatever, somewhere in there. And I turned to sprint back to catch that ball and completely pulled my hamstring out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the first hit of the game, right. Or like the second one. And I turned around and went full sprint and just, and I was like, oh, God! Oh, my God. And that's another thing I can't do anymore.
All you did was run.
I realized that it takes about 15 minutes to remember how to catch fly balls.
Oh, it's the worst. You look like a jackass.
Oh, I know, but I used to
be. They're going over your head.
I used to be money. I used to trot out there with my glove on my side, act all cool, flip my glove up, catch, right. Bring it down, just whip it sidearm back into second base.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just like, whoa,
my freaking leg.
That's exactly what I did. They say there's a point in your 30s when you realize your body doesn't handle things like jumping, running, sleeping, digesting, and burning off unhealthy foods and recovering from hangovers like it used to. And now scientists have figured out when and why that happens. A new study found that our bodies don't really age gradually. The researchers found there are really three stages where our bodies make a big shift to the next older stage.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So when do you think your body makes the first shift in your life?
At what age? What, like,
yeah, first shift.
33.
That is very good. 34 years old.
All right.
That is when your body goes, ooh, and kind of breaks down a little bit.
That's like to my
everything
body's
up there,
response.
Everything up until 34. Ooh. Everything up until 34. Things have been running smoothly. You're still under warranty.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Everything was gravy, baby.
Right. I mean, this thing's going to go forever. But then at 34, all right. So how much longer do you have till stage number two?
45.
Tell me it's 45.
It's 60.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Which is still a painful and sore stage of life. So between 34 and 60, the aches and pains start, you know, kicking in as far as like just being able to sleep and not wake up and feel like crap for whatever reason because you slept wrong.
Yeah, I understand this.
Okay, but then from 60, you enter the last stage, the third and final stage.
Isn't it just 60 till you die?
No, there's actually another one, and it's real bad after that.
How about 82?
It is 78 years old. You are very close. Right. So 78, right. Just forget it. I mean, anything past that is gravy.
You're just running on fumes.
It's basically what they're saying, yeah.
So wait, didn't you, if I'm hearing this right, Miles, and I want to say you brought it up to me either earlier this week or last week, there was a study or something where they said, thanks to modern medication, sanitation, all this kind of stuff, human beings live longer than nature intended. Like, human beings, by and large, should be dead by like 35 or something.
Correct.
Yeah, so like,
the average
but because
age
of
human
tech,
should right. be about 35 years.
So, but when you read this, it makes sense then. Like, your body, for the natural purposes, it's like, I'm all in. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you turn 34 and it's like, oh, you plan to keep living. Yeah, look, I'm going to do the best I can, but S is going to hurt.
The researchers have also tied those big age jumps to one thing and one thing only, to the protein levels in your blood. So the next step is, the next mission is figuring out if there is a way to use that knowledge to counteract and slow down the aging process by lowering those protein levels in our blood. So that's the way that works.
Yeah, because if the other study's right, you're not supposed to be here.
I've heard from a couple of people, you can just go to your doctor and say, I have all the money I need. I don't care what it costs.
Yeah, right.
And they'll give you a bunch of prescriptions.
Is that right? Now, what's the situation? Seriously, tell me about this.
Think about it, man.
No, like, just like...
How many people do you know that HIV got cured?
But just I don't mean that. I mean, like, I think
testosterone, it's... Testosterone, yeah, okay. HGH, just like... Stuff they're not going to normally offer you, but I had a buddy that's done very well in life, and he was just like... Make me a superhuman or something.
You went to the doctor and said, make me a superhuman.
I don't know if he said that exactly, but he basically was just like, he said it, phrased it different. Basically, right. It was like, I have the money to spend.
Give me the good
stuff. What are the secrets?
Okay.
Wow.
And did they prescribe him these secrets?
Yeah.
And how's he doing on them?
Awesome. Looks great.
He can fly.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, is he all huge and buff and you know what I mean?
No, but he's a good size.
Okay.
Well, what is the... Okay, well, all right, look, like everything else...
What has he told you? What's the best for your money?
When I think about hormone replacement therapy or treatments or any of that stuff, now, I think is, like...
But you should.
And this is something that you might used to be very good at, but you're not anymore. When you were, like, 9, 10 years old, and you wake up in the morning as a guy, you know what I mean? You could hang a wool coat on that thing.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's pointing straight up due north, correct? And then over time, you don't have that same... You know what I mean? It's just not looking up, you know what I mean? It might be
looking straight ahead.
It might be like at 3 o'clock,
right?
Or you know what I mean, like maybe 2:45, somewhere in there. Does that help? That
I don't.
Did you ever ask him about his?
No, because he's like
you're the person.
Because
Ted's Ted and you're you. That's why Ted didn't ask him.
No, but it'd be my first question.
right.
That's his point.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Right.
So, because it wasn't you.
Does it do
we
that?
Don't know.
I don't know. I just said, hey, man, you look really good.
I look good, but it's at 6 o'clock.
How's your G working, by the way? That's what I want to know. Because if I'm going to put all that work in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to get a benefit that I care about. I don't care about the biceps and all that stuff. You know what
and they
I mean?
Already have prescriptions for that. You're good.
Oh, no. It's not that. I'm just saying, like, if I could do it the unnatural way, but it's unnatural.
The unnatural. I have an unnatural erection, exactly. Ladies.
I don't need that Viagra. I'm on HGH.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Exactly. But it's not meant for that, see? It's the way I roll. Our question, what did you used to be very good at? 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
Our question, what did you used to be very, very good at? 844-999-OLA.
Face in the ground.
Hello, Jacob. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey.
Hola.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, Jacob. How are you, man?
Oh, not too bad. So my random story here for you is, or what I used to be good at, was downhill longboarding.
How fast did you go?
My fastest clock speed was 53 miles per hour, but I don't do it very much anymore after I smashed my face.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what was the accident that made you stop? How fast were you going when you smashed your face?
Oh, it's probably in like the low 40s.
How do you know? You know what I mean? Like, I get that you're doing it, but when you're bombing down a hill, is there any way to really get an accurate reading of how fast you're going?
So most of the time you have like a car follow you and then kind of, you know, pace you.
Okay. And hopefully you don't fall and then they run over you?
Yeah, that's part of it. You got to make sure they can hit the brakes fast enough.
Okay.
So I ended up busting my tooth and breaking my arm and a bunch of other things. So
what did you hit? Did you hit a tree? What happened?
Oh, I hit a pothole that was full of sand.
Oh, so the board stops dead. You keep going, right?
The board turned sideways and stopped, and I kept going.
Okay, and so your face broke the momentum.
How long have you been riding a longboard?
Since eighth grade, and now I am 24.
All right. Do you still ride a regular skateboard?
Sometimes, occasionally.
Okay.
I try not to go too fast anymore if I'm longboarding. I like to stay at my slower speeds and do more slides.
Would it be dangerous to you, from a getting injured standpoint, to take that thing and go to a skate park?
I mean, depends on the board. Sometimes you can get shorter ones that have kicktails, and you can go ahead and do a skate park, and that works.
Okay, because to me, that's one of the most dangerous things. I wasn't great at it, but I wasn't the best at it, but I could definitely... It was a different world of skateboarding when I grew up.
It was, but like for someone like you, you're 24, so skate... It's like, whatever. At what age do you think this is going to end up being behind you?
Probably never, honestly. I'll still ride. I'll probably just slow down more and more as I get older.
Okay. We were kids, it was all about slalom. It was really weird. It set up cones, and then you take a little banana board, and you try to do slalom and get inside the cones like you would downhill skiing. You know what I mean? Like,
but our skateboard sucked, and no one was really doing tricks.
Somebody had some decent ones back in the day. There was like some guys who had some like really nice ones, but they were kind of out of the price range of my friend group.
Well, that was exactly it.
But I'm telling you what, getting on a skateboard right now is one of those things that I know better. I just know better.
You're not going to catch me on one.
I know I'm going to break my wrist, and I'm going to...
Daryl, you still ride them?
No, I don't.
And you ride one backstage?
It was about 10 years ago. That's the last time I even got on one. It was probably 10 or 11 years ago. We're backstage at a place called the Tacoma Dome. Some big-ass concert's going on. And this dude we used to work with, Steve Rock, he and his buddy, dude, they rode boards all the time. So anyway, they had him there. And he's like, just get on there, man. Try it out. I'm like, bro, it's been, you know, 30 years. I'm telling you, it's just not a good idea. He's like, man, just put one foot on, put the other one on. I'm like, no problem. Put my foot on. As soon as I lift my other foot off the ground, this board just goes straight up toward the ceiling. And I land like Charlie Brown missing the football when Lucy's holding. Yep. I mean, came completely down, ass, back of the head, shoulder blades, and the skateboard is now zipping down the hall.
Sure it is.
Like, that's the last time I got on one. And I'm like, all right, but now
I think
know.
I was like 13 last time I got on one. And same thing. I just basically fell off. It was like, good.
I don't know I don't know if it's a certain age or a certain life.
No, there's things that you, as an adult, you need to stay away from. And we talk about
this. But there's a difference because there are certain things you just know. Okay, right? There's a difference. My buddy's kid has a pogo stick. It is in my buddy's garage. We go over there every so often, having beer, whatever. And he's like, yeah, man, you should try it out. And I'm like, no. And I have it. And because I know. And I haven't done a pogo stick. I mean, like... But something inside of me says, bro, you were not built for this. Don't bother.
We're at some weird person's house. Maybe, I don't know, they're crazy. They have a family, right? And then we're out on the deck drinking beer. And we look in the backyard, Ted, and there's a trampoline. Do we go get on it?
Yeah, I have a friend with a trampoline. I get on it.
You do? See, that's a trampoline.
I don't go crazy. I just kind of jump up and down. Okay. Maybe one butt bounce.
Okay, I got
that's it.
Okay. All right. What did you used to be very, very good at? 844-999-OLA.
Were you ever good on a trampoline?
I was. Yeah, I could do flips and stuff.
I mean, they were fun, but I don't know if I was good.
It's the same technique as doing a backflip or a front flip off of a diving board, because you have that kind of a spring, so it's the same mechanism.
Yeah, were you good at diving off the diving board?
I could do a front and a backflip. Okay. So, I mean, I could land on my back, you know what I mean? I could do that.
I can't even dive.
So there you go. Right, trampolines, different things for different people, man. Hello, Rob. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Over back in the day, I used to play clean and sober softball and umpired and got really good at it. Won trophies, won leagues, then umpired the old Seattle City Rat League. And last time I tried and kind of moved on.
You know what? Softball is a dangerous sport.
Because it seems like it should be so much easier than it is.
It is, man. I mean, I'm telling you what, the last time that we played, the time that I ripped my whole quad or whatever, I almost saw a coworker die.
Yeah.
I mean, a line shot to the face. And I'm telling you what, man, if you don't have the reflexes that you used to have.
You don't.
Softball's a dangerous sport, especially with the guys who are getting up there and jacking those balls.
Sure.
Because that's all they do.
Oh, man, the pitchers wear hockey masks, dude. They're up there in hockey gear because the 100-mile-an-hour ball coming at them, you don't have a lot of reaction time at 53 feet.
No, you don't. And you know what? Normally, when you're making those, you know, snap, quick judgments like that and doing that, you're playing softball, you're drunk. So yeah, when you're sober, you don't have the same, you know, exactly. You don't have the same reflexes. You know what I mean? You can't get that club right. Fast enough. Sure. No, softball's another big no for me, man. I just know I'm going to kill myself.
I don't know. Like, I would play soccer. Ted, you play soccer, right?
I do. I play in an adult pub league.
And you come in on Monday?
Classic division.
And what do you talk about?
My quad's sore, my hand is sore.
Sore.
But it's not injury, it's soreness. Like, correct. You get to a certain age, you can accept sore. Hell, man, I wake up some mornings, I'm like, I can't move my arm. They go, why? I'm like, because I have an arm and it decided it just wants to be stiff for like 20 minutes. I've done nothing.
I will say, the thing about being older, though, is like, I don't know. Back in the day, you could just show up and go play stuff.
Sure.
Whereas like now, you have to consciously
warm up.
We got warm up. We got warm up for 10, 15 minutes before we start running around.
And you never played really as in your youth, so there's no measurement. Like, boy, my footwork's not any good now. So now it's all just like, hey, this is.
Yeah, every time I play, I'm the best I've ever been.
Exactly. To me.
But we talked about sprinting. Last session, I sprinted, and it's a half field, right?
Right.
6v6. But I sprinted like the length of the field to like stop a ball right before it went out of bounds. And I got there. But I was so like, right. Like then somebody just walked over and took it from me.
Yeah,
I, like,
you were in such distress.
And like, yeah, and I just didn't know what to do next. I was just like, oh, no, I'm just
time out.
Sitting here sucking wind.
What did you used to be really, really good at? 844-999-OLA.
Speaking of which, the combine's coming up.
The combine.
Oh, yeah.
Man, oh, man. Hello, Charles. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So I used to be good at football. And so much so that the Air Force wanted me to play football for them.
Wow.
After a good junior season.
What position? My senior season.
Oh, go ahead.
What position were you playing?
I played both sides of the ball. So I was a quarterback and a linebacker.
All right. Well, that seems
wow.
That was a running quarterback, like Lamar.
All right, so you were just like Lamar. That's
sound more like a Tebow build.
Yeah,
okay. Right. Well, that's the Air Force. But, that's the Air Force offense.
Yeah,
they're still playing like a wing T, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm halfway through my senior season. I break my thumb and come to the quick realization: one, I don't want to play football anymore. Two, I don't want to commit to the military if I'm crying over a broken thumb.
Yeah.
So I just let that go by the wayside. And
but that's a was that a full ride to the Air Force Academy?
So I don't know the whole specifics of it, but I would imagine if you're going to the Air Force, they're going to pay for your school.
Yeah,
you
especially if you're an athlete, you could be a walk on. But I still believe, as far as the Air Force Academy, if you are in,
the school's paid for.
The taxes take care of
it. I think that's one of the few schools you get paid to go to. Right, because
you have to maintain a really high GPA and be super smart and all that.
No, but aren't you already technically kind of in the military because there's service you have to serve afterwards?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So let me ask you this.
That was the other thing.
Did you get recruited by anybody else?
A couple of junior colleges offered me, like, locally. This is Northeast Kansas. But the Air Force was really the only bigger school that wanted me to go there.
Did you have any regrets?
Yeah.
Did you have any regrets?
Do I have any regrets? Other than this big beer gut that I got now because I didn't continue playing sports. No.
Okay. No. All right.
What do you do now?
I got to comment on the softball stuff. Because I played a lot of softball in college playing pitcher. That's where I played. And I don't know how many times I had to save my own face.
No, it's so
scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that in the hot corner, the shortstop, those guys who want to go out there and play those positions in softball, I'm like, you're an idiot.
Or sometimes you're just on a team where nobody else can play it, so you have to play third.
Right.
There's a comment came in. It says, I used to work in a sports store. We had a guy come in with a petition for the softball league to remove some of the bats from being eligible. And when he turned around, I understood. A ball hit him. A ball was hit back at him on the mound. It went so fast, it crushed his eye socket.
I believe it.
Yeah, because a lot of those dudes are swinging like toothpicks.
Yeah,
They're like 30-some inches long and weigh like no ounces. Mm-hmm.
These are the guys that think it's like they're the home run guys, I call them. And they go to the batting cages just so they can practice hitting home runs.
Yeah.
It's like the 6'3" guy, you know what I mean? He's a bigger dude and he just jacks home runs to left field. Yeah, he can't hit them to right or center for crap, but he can always hit them to left field. He's that guy.
Yeah.
He's like sitting back on his back foot just waiting for the slowest ball ever to be thrown his way. Like, wow. How did you hit that big ball being thrown as slow as humanly possible at you? Whoa.
That's what they live for, man.
I know. Like, wow, you're athletic. What did you used to be very good at? 844-999-0. You can't place that damn thing. It's coming at you 10 miles an hour, really? I can hit a fungo bat to a right fielder 10 times in a row.
Hello, Jeremy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hola.
How's it going?
Doing excellent, sir.
Not too bad. So I used to be good at drinking. Really good at it.
Okay.
What means really good?
Oh, dude. I'm an idiot. Functioning alcoholic. I used to drink a half gallon of vodka every day.
Did you drink it in the morning before you went to work or just all through the day?
Oh, hell yes. All through the day.
All through the day. And could you hide this from most people?
Oh, yeah. For 15 years.
Oh, damn.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. And what turned it around?
My liver decided it didn't want to play no more.
Okay.
And how did that, I mean, I'm sure you didn't go and get a general checkup all the time if you're a functioning alcoholic for 15 years.
I went in the ICU for, crap, I don't know, about 40 days in about 18-month period, three different times.
Is that because, what, were you feeling a pain? Explain.
What does it feel like when your liver has quit?
Right.
So basically, it's a GI bleed that'll happen. Your just intestines just decide to give up.
And so are you saying that there's a lot of blood coming in your stool?
Both.
All right.
Both ends, yeah.
Okay. Oh. And so when you go in there and they say, like, you got to stop drinking or you're going to die, is that it?
No, it was more like the ambulance picked me up because I just started throwing up blood, like, all over the place.
All right, but the doctor didn't tell you got to stop drinking or you're going to die?
Immediately, yes.
Okay, but
I've been warned for a few years.
But then you went back again. This happened a few more times after that?
No, I actually didn't. So the weird thing was I ended up getting diabetes when I got out, and I've never been close to diabetic. But when I quit drinking, my blood sugar got messed up.
So when you stopped drinking, it messed with your system so bad that you ended up getting diabetes?
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley showed up personally at his house.
Did they tell you that was a possibility? Yeah. Did they tell you that was a possibility?
No, they didn't even understand what the hell was going on. They still don't. It's been almost 2 years now.
It's just how your body responded to the sudden lack of alcohol.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
So it's been 2 years, and how have you been for the 2 years that you're not guzzling half a gallon of vodka?
Pretty good, actually. Quite a bit better.
Now, did you just quit cold turkey, or do you have an occasional beer, or what is your what do you do?
No, I don't have nothing now. I tried the a little bit, and that didn't work.
All right, let me ask you this: how's your liver doing?
It's still messed up, but it's recuperating.
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't your liver repair itself gradually over time?
Yeah, as long as the scarred parts the parts that aren't scarred from cirrhosis will rejuvenate. But
okay.
All right. And based on this, based on the fact that you got scarring on the liver and all this kind of thing, if the doctor, did they shave any time you have left on this earth? Like, look, man, if the average is, 75 years old, you might be gone by 65.
No, they haven't given me any kind of timeline. Basically, just don't drink and you'll get
okay.
You'll be okay.
What is the biggest what's the biggest difference you've noticed?
No, hell no. I don't have more money in my pocket. Okay. No, I just hate people more.
Is that really what it is?
He hates people more.
All right. Okay, well, positive. You should be a guy who gives people pep talks at AA. Hey, look, man, you know what I mean? You might be able to get along with your neighbor right now. Let me tell you something. When you get sober, you want to kill him.
But I'm sober.
Right.
So it's sober thoughts. But I hate everyone I meet now. Can't believe my group of sons of bitches.
Sometimes you think that you're going to get a rosy story on the backside of that. You know what I mean?
You would think.
Like, oh, man, I got a lot more money. You know what I mean?
I'm broke and I hate people.
I'm more active. I went back to the gym. I eat better.
Yeah, we know somebody, and he was just kind of like, it's good, but I'm bored.
Yeah.
He wasn't, like, being mean or anything. He was just being honest.
Sure.
Yeah. What did you used to be very, very good at? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Leslie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going, guys?
Doing well, sir.
Yeah, I used to practice a martial art as well, Hapkido. I did that for about 9 years, and definitely couldn't do it now. Had a knee surgery couldn't do the tumbles or any of that stuff the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, what specifically, like, what am I looking at if it's Hapkido, right? Everyone has a general idea of your karate, kung fu's, all that. Like, what separates it from the other martial arts?
It's very grappling-based. It's a lot about getting people in close and using their energy against them, putting them down on the ground when they throw a punch at you, you know, continuing that momentum and then using that to get them on the ground.
Okay.
Is the main philosophy of it.
Is there any kicking involved at all?
Tons of kicking. Arm bars, kicking, lots of that fun stuff.
Yeah. Let me ask you, do you think that the sport itself leads to the deterioration of you being able to do it? For an example, I can walk around now, and I've got, at certain times, just depending on what the hell the day is, and I have no rhyme or reason to it, I'll have a click that's in my hip, all right? And it's like this ticking.
He got a click in his hip.
And I know, and I used to have that click every once in a while.
Click, clack.
When I was kicking. But then again, I was going out, I was kicking probably
100. You got a click when you kick in your hip?
150 balls a day. You know what I mean? And I know for a fact, like, cause I used to get really sore in that one area.
Sure.
And now it's just constantly kind of sore and clicks all the time. So I know what it's for.
I would say 100% I agree with you on that one. Especially, like, in my case, my knee, I started getting clicks in my knee. It was just the cartilage wearing down. But
that doesn't rhyme, so it's not cool.
Because
he got a click from a kick in his hip.
Because when you practice a sidekick on a bag or whatever, you know, you might kick that thing 10, 15 times repetition-wise and then go left, go right, or whatever you're doing it. It's a lot of wear and tear.
Definitely. Or just going from a kneeling to standing position, in my case, a lot, I think had a lot to do with it. I'm a bigger guy. I'm about 6'9".
Did this affect?
6'9"!
Did this affect? Yeah, because you need to be to defend yourself. Did this hurt your sex life at all as far as what you're able to do, you know what I mean, when it comes to
take the click
what you could
in
do before, maybe, you know what I mean? I can't do that now.
No, I would never admit to my sex life hurting on live air, but
you're just going to fight through it.
Yeah.
Six nine.
I gotta think there's all kinds of logistical
people
things
keep
in your sex life.
Picking on me.
Yeah,
I need to go to the dojo.
Right.
What? Just step on it.
It's bad enough you say, man, a dude that knows a martial art wants to kick your ass. And then you point like the 6'9" guy.
He kick your ass from across the room.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Not good, but last year, tough year for the retail industry, and this year not looking much better. The owner of Papaya's Greeting Card, the stationery chain, is closing all of their stores. Group says 254 Papyrus and American Greeting stores in North America will be closing over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
How have they been in business that long? I mean, You just sell greeting cards.
Mm-hmm. Chain employs about 1,400 people. They were founded in 1950 and once had more than 450 stores. So the card world is not what it used to be. And Pier 1 is closing half of its stores. 300 employees are said to be laid off at the corporate headquarters. And they close 942 stores, which is nearly half. So I'm not, Pier 1 just kind of had like wicker baskets and throw pillows and candles and stuff, but people seem to like them, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're right. I mean, mm-hmm. I understand their business model more than the greeting card thing. I don't know. I can't wrap my head around the idea. And look, I know they say like candles and plastic gnomes, but like every time I walk into that type of store, I cannot believe the stuff that they're selling. Because they're selling it.
It's crap.
People are buying. They're like, who wants this stuff?
On the East Coast, they referred to those as tchotchkes.
Yeah, that's
people had like cabinets full of tchotchkes, you know?
It's the stuff they give you free at a garage sale.
What did you used to be very, very good at? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Hola.
So I used to be really good at wakeboarding in my like late teens, early 20s. And there's about a 10-year hiatus where I drank a lot of IPAs and got fat and lazy. But I had some younger buddies invite me on a bachelor party. And, of course, I had to show off to them and do some more flips wakeboarding. And I broke my hip. And that ended my wakeboarding career.
Oh, no.
You broke your hip.
Yeah. So how many 36-year-old guys do you know with a broken hip?
Yeah, usually it's a little later in life.
Yeah, so...
And not from wakeboarding.
Wakeboarding, so. Now, wakeboarding, is that the little skinny board?
No, it's the big wide one. You kind of stand on it like a snowboard. So you can go behind the boat and you hit the wake.
Okay. You've seen it. Yeah, I have. There's so many of those different sports nowadays.
Did you ruin the bachelor party?
Yeah, I did. So that was basically I killed 2 days of the bachelor party. We were over on Lake Roosevelt with a houseboat. And yeah, you got it out in remote wilderness. Not good to break your hip.
How old were you when you broke it?
36.
All right. So did you take any solace in watching like the quarterback from Alabama who's only in his early 20s? Like he's the only other young dude I knew that broke a hip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then Chris Carson, I guess, his injury was a non-displaced hip fracture. So, I'm in good company.
Does it make you happy when you hear that?
Oh, cool, man. I know all about that.
Yeah, I got you, Tua.
So what
it
could
doesn't,
you...
It doesn't, but...
What could you do and not do after you break your hip? Can you not walk?
So for 2.5 months is basically you sit in a chair at home or on the couch or in a recliner. But yeah, don't leave the house for 2.5 months.
Okay.
How much weight do you gain in this 2.5 months?
I lost a bunch of weight.
How did that happen?
I have no idea.
Were you not getting up to feed yourself so often?
Were you on pain medication?
Surprisingly, it actually didn't hurt that bad. Once they bolt it all back together, it's kind of, just sit and just let it heal.
Now, what about when you walk now? Would we be able to tell that something went down?
No. Well, that's the awesome part is I feel like the day before I broke my hip, everything's back.
Okay. And did you make it to that wedding?
No, I actually didn't. They wouldn't let me leave the house.
All right, so that's what I'm saying.
Not only did I ruin the bachelor party, I didn't make it to the wedding.
Well, I bet the bride wasn't too pissed off at you, all things considered, right? Like, you're not going to believe what happened. We had no fun. Yeah, I mean, she's probably good.
My wife was pissed.
Oh, right, yeah. She probably wanted to go. Did she go anyway?
Oh, yeah, she went anyway.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Could you have sex for 2.5 months?
No.
So that's why she was pissed.
You need the hip thrusting action. And with a broken hip, there's no thrusting.
I hear that all the time.
Okay.
Every time I say, move your hips.
I don't even have a broken hip.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with me.
What do you mean, do what again?
I'm just terrible performing.
I used to be really good at this, but I guess I'm not anymore.
Physically fit, I'm just uncoordinated.
What did you used to be really, really good at? 844-999-OLA.
Just saying, like, I've heard that before.
Sure. I'm sure you were better at sex when you were younger, wouldn't you think?
Well, I had more. I'd say I was better 10 years ago. I was practicing more.
But you practice more. I don't know if you're better, but I mean, look, you got more range of motion. No doubt about it.
That's what I mean. Like,
but the older you get,
the more you know what you like. But that doesn't mean that you're athletic enough to be able to pull off all the things.
I used to be more excited.
Like Tom Brady being like, we know the angles now.
Yeah, we do.
You do. Look, I used to be more excited to go to, say, like Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors when I was a kid. I don't go as much now, but every time I go, I know exactly what I want.
And when I have sex, I think about just dumping off to Edelman real quick and watching him run.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.